October is not my favorite time of year. As a breast cancer survivor, the flood of pink ribbons in every store and the parades of pink-clad marchers lead to a lot of questions from coworkers and other acquaintances about what I'm doing to contribute to this huge corporate campaign to fight the big C. A few years ago, I interviewed Barbara Brenner, outgoing director of Breast Cancer Action, and she had this to say.
If shopping could cure breast cancer, it would be cured by now. You can buy so many products with pink ribbons on them. And people need to start asking, where does that money go? How much of it really goes to breast cancer, if any of it? I mean, people should know that there is nobody holds a trademark on the pink ribbon. So anybody can and does put it on anything. So just because something has a pink ribbon on it doesn't mean that anything you're giving is getting to breast cancer. And if anything is getting to breast cancer, you're entitled to know how much, what it's supporting, is the product bad for your health, is the company spending more to market it than they are giving to breast cancer.
Comedian Stephen Colbert recently referenced Barbara's sage advice.
Tip of the hat to KFC, and not just for their double down sandwich, where the bun is replaced with fried chicken, or the triple down sandwich, where your hands are replaced with fried chicken. No. Today, I am praising them for raising breast cancer awareness by selling pink buckets of chicken. For every bucket sold, KFC donates 50 cents to Susan G. Komen for the Cure, an organization that raises awareness of breast cancer. But some are saying this endorsement sends a mixed message, like Barbara Brenner, executive director of Breast Cancer Action, who argues, they're raising money for women's health by selling a product that is bad for your health? It's hypocrisy. No, madam. It's hypocrispy. Besides, there's an easy way to solve this dilemma. Yes, fried food may clog your arteries. So, after you buy the chicken, everyone should also buy Campbell's soup, whose Address Your Heart campaign raises money to fight heart disease. Of course, canned soup often has high levels of sodium, which can lead to kidney disease. That's why you should load up on Coca-Cola, corporate partner of the National Kidney Foundation. Now, sugary soft drinks can contribute to diabetes, so we all need to buy a Ford, global partner of the Juvenile Diabetes Research Foundation. And don't worry, the trucks and SUVs hurt the environment. Just buy a carton of Marlboros, because Marlboro is a major partner of Keep America Beautiful. Of course, smoking causes cancer, so you want to fight back by buying a bucket of KFC.
I urge everyone to check out Breast Cancer Action's website and their Think Before You Pink campaign at bcaction.org. But of course, Breast Cancer Awareness Month does give us an opportunity to remind ourselves and each other of this growing epidemic and what we need to do to fight it. In this next segment, Sharon Sobota talks with Susie Miller-Reed and her daughter, Rima Alzaban. Susie was a single mother and a self-proclaimed workaholic when she learned that she had breast cancer 10 years ago. Susie's daughter, Rima, found an outlet for dealing with her mother's illness in a college photography class, for which she documented her mother's journey through cancer in a powerful photo series. The experience strengthened their bond with one another.
My name is Susie Miller-Reed, and I am a breast cancer survivor.
Susie Miller-Reed is the Director of International Student Programs at St. Mary's College of California. 10 years ago, Susie was at the peak of her career in the UC system while also raising her daughter Rima as a single mother. Cancer was about to change the rhythm of the life Susie and Rima had grown accustomed to.
I was 45 years old. I was the director of the international programs and English programs at UC Santa Cruz Extension and was living a very busy and exciting life. And I knew that I had developed cancer, breast cancer, because I had a lump in my breast.
Susie remembers having what she calls lumpy breasts her whole life, but this lump was different.
I had just had a mammogram in January of that year, and this was May of 2000 that the lump appeared, and it was a little different from any other lump I'd had. So I thought, well, I'll just see what happens. It might be something that's going to disappear.
Susie was busy developing new programs at work. So busy that it took her a while to get to the doctor.
I had worked too hard and had stayed up too late writing too many proposals and had won two very large programs that were running. One was a three-phase that was partially in Egypt and then in Santa Cruz and back in Egypt. And the other one was a orientation for Fulbright and Humphrey Fellows in Santa Cruz. And I had a half-time staff member to help me run this program. So as I began to work more and sleep less and not eat very well, I noticed that the lump began to develop and grow bigger. And I also began to feel that there was another tumor on the lower side of my breast. So I knew something was going on. At the end of July, I finished up with the Santa Cruz phase of the Egyptian program, and I had to go to Cairo. But I knew as soon as I got back from Cairo that I would go to the doctor. I really honestly didn't have time to go before I jumped on the plane. So I went off to Cairo, spent about a week, and then came back and saw my doctor. He immediately sent me to the radiologist to have a mammogram, and it was very clear that I did have breast cancer.
After Susie's doctors confirmed that she had breast cancer, she had to bring the news to her daughter, Rima.
I had come home from school, and my mom had been to the doctor that day, and you know, she sat me down and told me they were pretty sure she had breast cancer, and it was just scary. I was 15 and had just started high school, kind of not sure what my place was in the world yet, and it was just scary to think of not having my mom there.
When I got the diagnosis and had the conversation with my surgeon, Dr. Rose, you know, it was clear that I had to do something, and so I sat down and talked with her and told her that I had breast cancer and I was going to have treatment, and I was not afraid. I think my determination helped convince her that I was going to live beyond the surgery.
This turned into a pivotal moment in Susie and Rima's lives.
I'm very much a workaholic and particularly was at that point in my life. But for the first time ever, I just said, I think I'm a little bit more important than this job. And definitely my being here for my daughter and just being here to live this life of mine was really important. So I decided that I would actually use some of the 8 months of sick leave that I had racked up over my 15 years at the UC, and I took 2 months off. I felt the lump first in May, and I had the mastectomy in September. I went through surgery, and then I took a month to recover, and then I started chemotherapy.
Rima recalls her mom's treatment process.
I remember going with her to chemo, and even though she was feeling really crappy, she kind of stayed positive through the whole thing, probably more positive than I was, really. I was, you know, it was hard to watch, you know, her feel sick and tired. And the big moment, I think, and with a lot of breast cancer survivors and cancer survivors in general, was, you know, when she had to shave her hair off. And I actually remember it was a really fun night. We had one of her friends, Judy, come over, and we kind of made a night of it. And Judy shaved her hair, and we took and kind of had a laugh about it, which was a really fun moment in the whole process.
The regrowth of Susie's hair symbolized yet a new chapter in life.
It took about probably about 6 weeks before my hair started to grow again, and just watch it as it was getting longer and longer. So that was really an interesting experience. Also, as it often happens, my hair was very straight before the chemo, and afterwards it became very kinky and curly.
Susie's treatment was a success. She was just about to celebrate her 5th anniversary of being cancer-free. But during her 5th-year exam, she learned it was too soon to celebrate.
In the world of breast cancer, if you get to your 5th anniversary, that's kind of a milestone for you as a patient and your ability to survive. So I reached my 5th anniversary, or was close to it, and I went in for my annual checkup with my surgeon, and he found another tumor. So I had a recurrence on the same side, on the left side. That was in October. Again, I was traveling. I flew off to Thailand and Japan, and I was abroad when I found out that my tumor was malignant, and that I had to have surgery again. So in January of 2006, I had part of my chest wall muscle removed.
By now, Susie's daughter Rima was a 20-year-old college student. She had discovered her passion for photography, and it was through one of her photography courses that Rima found an outlet for dealing with her mom's recurrence.
I had kind of just gotten in seriously into photography. I'd been interested before, but finally decided that I wanted to kind of pursue photography. And so I had this really great professor who was very open with herself, and so I think she encouraged us to be open with our lives. So the project that I chose to kind of explain what was going on in my life was my mom's battle with breast cancer. It was what was occupying my mind at that time, and, you know, I wanted to share. And my mom was completely open to it, so we went ahead.
I was very photographable because Rima was the photographer. In preparation for that surgery, I had to go through a number of tests to make sure that the cancer hadn't metastasized. So I had all kinds of scans and whatnot. And so Rima said, oh, I want to use you as a subject. She took her photos on the day that I was preparing for a CAT scan, and I had to drink this horrible white chalky liquid, and it was just disgusting. So, yeah, she just used that as the theme of one of her projects.
I actually accidentally took this photo. It was like a double or triple exposure. It's kind of like superimposed a bunch of different images, and it looks like she's dizzy. You know, she was looking back at those and said, that's exactly how I felt that day. It turned out to really portray her experience at that moment. That's probably one of my favorite images. And then I decided to accompany her to the appointment and kind of just wanted to document what she went through, kind of tried to capture how she was feeling. Looking back at the photos, I think there's a lot of silence in a lot of them. I feel like they're pretty quiet and subtle. I think the most important part was her scar. And from, you know, from her previous mastectomy and then this lumpectomy that she had just had.
Susie's scar was a symbol of her journey, and she was not afraid to put it out there for the world to see.
We took that one picture of her, you know, sitting on the edge of the bed with her scar. It kind of sums up everything in a nutshell.
In the photo, Susie appears to have just taken a deep breath. Her eyes are closed. She's sitting proudly and in perfect posture. She's lifting the left side of her shirt to expose her flat chest and her scar.
It was published in a photography magazine for a photo series called Beloved.
Not only was that picture symbolic of the journey of a mother and a daughter's determination to beat breast cancer, it became a source of inspiration for women and men from all walks of life.
I was very happy to share my story with Rima's classmates because many of them were young women like she was, and young men who may face cancer in their future or may have relatives or mothers who may face it too.
At the end of the day, Rima and Susie agree that cancer made their life a better journey.
When cancer came into our lives, I think we both stopped and realized that we had been, you know, not really living and definitely not appreciating each other. So we kind of started on this new path. And I think the second time around, we, you know, it was kind of a second level of that. And we've been, you know, growing ever since. And I think that with each kind of new obstacle or, you know, happy thing that's come along in our lives, we've just kind of adapted to it. And I think the cancer kind of was the starting point of that. I think it was one of the things that kind of both allowed us to really accept life as it comes rather than fight it.
We just grew a lot more closer. You know, there was no need to have any issues between us. I mean, not that we didn't have disagreements. Of course, all mothers and daughters do. But you know, we understood the more important things of life, which are just being there for each other.
In reflecting on how AC, after cancer, differs from life BC, or before cancer, Susie says she had to learn to put herself first.
I mean, I was always physically active as possible and eat healthy whenever possible, but what I didn't do was take care of myself in terms of my work. I worked too long, too many hours, and I often gave too much, much more than I was given. In terms of time and effort. So I learned after cancer to take more time for myself. And I joined a Zendo and began to meditate with another cancer survivor who was the teacher. And I felt, you know, that really put a very strong anchor in my life and a center focus for staying in a healthy state of mind. So I think after cancer, much more focus on me and taking care of me first so that I could help others rather than trying to just help others and then draining myself.
This year marks Susie's 10-year anniversary of surviving breast cancer. Susie says she hopes the idea of self-care will resonate with her daughter Rima so that she can also have a healthy, cancer-free future. Sharon Sabota, Moraga, California.
Rima's photos were included in an issue of JPEG magazine on the theme Beloved. You can see them by going to jpgmag.com and clicking on issue 20. You're listening to Women's Magazine on KPFA 94.1 FM and online at kpfa.org. I'm Kate Raphael.
Sister, I've been there, so unsure of what lies ahead, not sure what to do. You thought it couldn't happen to you, but listen to the spirit of women, to that voice inside, listen to your heart that says, do not lose your faith, 'cause you are not alone. Though this pain can tackle you to the ground, you are not alone. For heaven's sake, do not be afraid. You are not alone. Don't forget your power. You were given a
Jennifer Menides, You Are Not Alone.